great to see you. No, I'm not going to a funeral. And no, I'm not having a wedding today. Man, I keep getting asked. I dress up once in a while, and here we go. Yeah, my goodness, having all kinds of problems today. The world's not coming to an end yet, not that we know of. All right. Well, it's great to see you. The reason I am wearing a tie, I brought out the gold because tonight we're bringing out the volleys. Tonight is the volleys. This is the number one event happening. I know you think it's the Oscars. It's not. It is all about tonight. This is the, you've asked for it. You've asked for church-wide events. This is our church-wide event for this quarter. And so this is the main event of the entire quarter right now happening tonight. And this is our chance to recognize all of you who have put in extra effort. Do you realize that this church cannot do what it's doing unless we have volunteers? It requires a lot of people giving a lot of their time. It requires a lot of people even giving just some of their time. It requires all of us doing something so that this church becomes what it really is and what God has designed. And so tonight I hope to see you. Do not have to dress up. Now, if you want to come tonight, you can come, and you don't have to dress up. But tonight, I know you're going to see something super special because Ryan Black is going to be in a tuxedo. And that's going to be pretty exciting, all right? We're rolling out the red carpet. It's going to be pretty sharp. And so I'm excited about that tonight. So make your plans. Everybody has been invited. And so this is the most important event of the evening, all right, this quarter. Well, thank you for being here. If you have your Bibles, please turn to James chapter 2. Now, have you decided how you're going to use your extra day this week? This week is we have leap day, right? So what are you going to do with your extra day? I've heard that whatever happens on leap day doesn't count. All right, never mind. Let me reverse. I'll get myself in trouble for that one. So it still counts. There's still things going to be happening, but I hope you already figured out a new way to use your leap day and be excited. One of our interns, she was born on leap day, so I think she's only 4 years old now, but that's pretty exciting. She's in college, Micah, and so we're excited for her this next week. All right, James chapter 2. You have your Bibles. Here's what we got going on. We have been talking about 8 things that grow your faith, 8 things that grow my faith over and over again. Now, today what we want to do is we want to talk about faith and what does that mean? Now, it's easy to talk about a journey. It's easy to talk about being on a spiritual journey. There's a lot of people talking about being on spiritual journeys. It's a lot of talk about being on a faith journey. What does that mean? What does that look like? Is it just a journey? Is it just a trip that we're on? Have you ever been on a trip and come up to a detour, a roadblock? Yeah. Okay, so you had the map, you figured out this is where I need to go, your GPS is saying this is where you go, and you come up to the road and all of a sudden it's a dead end, it's detour, and you have the signs, and so you turn and all of a sudden your GPS starts screaming at you, right? Recalculating, you're an idiot, turn around. Yeah, you have one of those that talk to you? Okay, and so for a little bit you're going with it and you're trying to follow the signs, all the traffic's going one way, and before long, you get so tired of the recalculating, you turn that off, and then before long, you're tired of the traffic, and then you decide, I know, I just need to get over there. And so you figure that you're smarter than the detour signs, and you decide to do it on your own. Anybody done that? Don't raise your hands. I know some of you have at least tried this. And so you try and you go around and it doesn't matter which road you get on. You're just glad that there's no traffic and now you're moving fast, right? And before long, you're just moving fast and you're like, sweet, I've made it. I'm going to end up. And it doesn't matter if it's 30 minutes longer. You've made it around all the traffic, a detour. Some of you coming into this place today, when we talk spiritual awakenings, when we talk spiritual life, when we start talking your faith, you're coming in and you're going, man, I've been on a detour for a long time and I don't even know if my faith is really alive. I'm not really for sure that I'm really on board with this, a spiritual journey. I've been around church before, but I'm really not, you know, it's not really making a difference. Some of you have come in and you've been on maybe what you would call a long tenured spiritual journey. You've been, you know, decades you've been following Christ. And so the question becomes, what good is your faith? Has it actually made a difference this last week? What good is your faith over the last year? Has it helped you in your decisions? Has it changed your decisions? Does it change the way you act now? Or are you going about your life, just living your life, and church is just one of those elements, one of those things you put into it? Now, I know for many of our ladies, and we have over 100 ladies in a Bible study right now that is going through the book of James, and you have been studying this. But as a church, I want us to look at James chapter 2, and I want us to ask the question, what good is your faith? If we're talking about a faith journey, if we're talking about being on a journey with Christ, with God, what does it mean to have faith, and what does it mean to actually be on a journey? Does it make a difference? You and I have been on this trip for a while. We've been talking through 8 things that have grown your faith. And if you haven't listened to some of the podcasts or some of the messages, we put it online so you can go back and you can catch up and you can walk through those. But here's what we're going to talk about today. James, very incredible book. It's short. You could actually go home in this afternoon, if instead of taking a nap, you could read the book of James very quickly. It's only a few chapters long. It's not too hard. But what you're going to find is this. James is the half-brother of Jesus. Now, if anybody could denounce, and if anybody could say, hey, wait a minute, Jesus is a fraud, Jesus is a fake, Jesus isn't real, he's not really the Messiah, don't you think it'd be the half-brother of Jesus? Now, let's be real honest. Jesus was born of a virgin. Her name was Mary. So he didn't actually have an earthly father, right? But he did have other brothers and sisters. Mary and Joseph, later on, after Jesus was born, have other brothers and sisters. Can you imagine having Jesus as your older brother? Ugh. Talking about how some, you can't live up to that. There's Jesus again. He's being perfect and all. Man, that's just tough. You can't do that. So here you go. You have James, who's grown up with Jesus being his older brother. He's watched Jesus grow up. He's seen Jesus go through the elementary years, teen years. He's seen Jesus go through his 20s. And now here's Jesus preaching, teaching, and Jesus even dying on the cross. And here's what we find. James later on comes back and says, wait a minute. He is the Son of God. And James trusts Jesus as his personal Savior. That right there, if you stop and think about it for just a moment, that will blow your mind. Because there is no way I'm trusting my brother. I've got 2 of them. Not a chance. I'm trusting them for my salvation. No way. Not a chance. I'm not doing it. And here's James. Not only does he trust Jesus as his personal Savior. Watch this. This is where he gets really crazy. He actually becomes one of the premier leaders of the early church. That's amazing. That's amazing. So here you go. You have James, who is a premier leader. He's leading the church. And now here he is writing a letter. And he writes this letter in this book. Here's what it is. It's so practical. It's simple. And some of the things you read in this book, you read it and go, well, duh, yeah, you should act that way. Well, yeah, you're right. But when you get into James, what's going to happen is this. He's going to almost, you know, butter you up a little bit and then boom, just take you off guard. He's going to nail you in the face and you're going, I'm supposed to live this way? And here's a question he's going to ask. He says, what good is your faith? Are you ready? That's a question for you and a question for me. Does your faith really even matter? Is it making a difference? James chapter 2, would you please stand for the reading of God's word? Go all the way down to verse 14, if you would. James chapter 2, verse 14. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace and be warmed and filled without giving them the things needed for their body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is faith without works is dead. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day and I thank you for your blessings. God, I am so amazed that you would love us, that you would care for us. And God, I'm amazed that you even allow us together to worship you. I pray that the songs this morning were coming from our hearts as true worship to you. And God, as we now come into this time, I pray your spirit would have freedom to work and to move, prick, prod, whatever you need to do, God, get our attention so that we walk out of here a different people. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Thank you, may be seated. So before we get too much further into James chapter 2, James, he says this, what good is your faith? What good is it, my brothers or my sisters, if someone says he has faith? Some of you in here might be able to say, I have faith. Some of you are even saying, hey, I'm on a spiritual journey. And most will actually walk in, and most of your friends or colleagues, whether you're in high school or whether you're in college, whether you're out of college and you're in work and you've been in the work environment for a long time, even if you're retired, many of our friends will say, I'm spiritual. Oprah Winfrey loves to talk about spirituality, right? I read an article about spirituality, and here's what I want to read. I want to read this to you. This comes from the University of Maryland. It's a medical center. This was on their website talking about spirituality. Spirituality has been defined in numerous ways. These include a belief in a power operating in the universe that is greater than oneself. We would be there, right? We would be a power that's greater than oneself that operates the universe. Okay, that sounds good so far. It's also been described, you ready, as a sense of interconnectedness with all living creatures. Now, time out. We just took a major detour. Because what they're talking about is that because I'm connected to ants or monkeys or trees, I have this interconnectedness, and that's spirituality. Okay, are you following? Let me keep reading because it continues, and here's what it says. An awareness of purpose and meaning of life and developing a personal and absolute value. Okay, your spiritual life, it could be like this, that you now become aware of who you are, aware of your purpose, and aware of meaning in life. And because you now have meaning in life, you create for yourself your values and your set of, this is how I'm going to live, spirituality. Now follow along, here we go. It continues, it says this, it's the way you find meaning, hope, comfort, inner peace in your life. Although spirituality is often associated with religious life, many believe that personal spirituality can be developed outside of religion. Acts of compassion, selflessness, altruism, and the experience of peace are all characteristics of spirituality. Many Americans are becoming interested in the role of spirituality in their health and in their health care, end quote. So would you agree that we have a great difference on what spirituality is? So people coming into this church, even people that you're talking to and you're interacting with, the question becomes, what are we talking about? When we talk about a spiritual awakening, are we talking about you finding peace? Are we talking about you finding comfort? Are we talking about you getting healthy? That's not what we're talking about. So here's what we need to do. When James asks the question, what is faith? And is it any good? Then we need to be very careful that we're answering the question correctly. So let's talk about faith. You ready? So what is faith? Would you flip over just a few pages backwards? Go to Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 12. Let me show you where faith starts. Faith begins and ends with a person. Faith begins and ends with someone. Faith is not just something that's out there, a blind leap in the dark. Let me show you where faith begins. So your faith journey, my faith journey, Hebrews chapter 12, look down in verse 2. Our faith journey begins and ends with who? Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Stop. The founder, perfecter, or some of you might have in the King James, it'll say author and what? Finisher of our faith. So here's the question. Where do we get faith? Faith starts, faith ends, faith is in between everything that we do. Faith has as its center Jesus Christ. It's where it starts over and over again. It's in a person. It's not in a blind leap. It's not in you finding more purpose in your life. It's not in you finding peace. It's not in you finding more health. It's in you and I coming to the simple point that Jesus is the point of life. Jesus is the point. We're going back to him over and over and over again. He's the author. He's the one who started it. He starts it on the cross. See, there's no other name given under heaven where you and I can be saved. It's Jesus. And let me be very candid. If you do not know Jesus as your personal Savior, you're right. You could be very spiritual and you can be doing acts of kindness and you can be generous with your finances. You can even be generous with your life and how you volunteer and how you give. But it doesn't save you. Ready for this? You could even be a Baptist. Hello. You can even be, it doesn't matter what denomination, you can even be baptized. And you can have this spiritual encounter and you can say, man, when I went into this place, they had such incredible music. I just felt the Spirit of God moving. You can have a spiritual experience. And if it's not based on Jesus Christ, then you, my friend, have not had your faith centered on and you are not saved. Did you hear that? Because here's what we got to catch and here's what we've got to turn. We've got to be very careful that we didn't just have an emotional experience. That we didn't just get pumped up. I can get pumped up watching the Cowboys when they win. Or even when they're behind. I can get excited, right? And you can start yelling and you're screaming and you're just hoping that you can have an emotional experience. But it doesn't do you any good. Unless it's centered on Jesus Christ. He's the author. He's the start. He's the end. He's in between. He's what this life is all about. Now, if we allow our spiritual life to be defined by whatever I like, then here's what it happens. Whatever I like becomes what's good for me, and whatever you like becomes what's good for you. And now we have all different types of opinions, right? And your opinion doesn't mean any more than mine. My opinion doesn't mean any more than yours. And now we have a whole collage of opinions. Have you ever tried to play a sport without rules? It doesn't work, does it? I heard about Willie Nelson at one point in his life. He owned a golf course. Did you hear about this? He owned a golf course. And he said the best thing about owning a golf course is that you can determine what par is for each hole. That's pretty good, isn't it? And then he pointed out to the reporter, he said, that hole over there, that is a par 47. And yesterday I birdied it. That's pretty good. So if you're living life, let's just be real honest. If you're just living this spiritual life and you're saying, man, I'm doing good. And I'm so proud of you for doing good. But here's what I want to make sure you move. I want you to move away from just being spiritual and just being good and understand that that faith has as its foundation you. Did you hear that? And that foundation will crumble every time. When it gets tough, when life comes at you, that foundation crumbles. The only foundation that doesn't crumble is who? Jesus Christ. He's forever and ever the same. He's the one who's all powerful. So James asks, what good is that faith? He's meaning a faith that's not just about anything. He's meaning a faith that is founded and grounded in Jesus Christ. Let me show you something else. Romans chapter 10. You have your Bibles, turn over to Romans chapter 10. I'm making you look a little bit today. It's a good exercise. But also, I want you to see it. I don't want you just to think that I'm just throwing out things for you. I want you to see what I'm showing you. I want you to see that it's coming out of the Word of God, that these are not just my opinions. Romans chapter 10, Paul is writing here, and go down to verse 17. So your faith journey, my faith journey begins and ends with Jesus. My faith journey, your faith journey, watch this. It is developed through the Word of God. Verse 17, so faith comes from what? And hearing from what? Did you see this? If you think that your faith is strong and yet you haven't been in the Bible in the last week, you're fooling yourself. You're fooling yourself. You're telling a lie to yourself. Now, let's be honest. The worst type of liar is what? The one who actually lies to himself. That's the worst type of liar. When you start believing yourself and believing your lies, you have a major problem. So here we are. The Bible says for us, faith comes by hearing. You are not saved. You will not ever be saved apart from the word of God. When you understand who Jesus Christ is and that revelation comes to you and you understand it's Jesus Christ, it's him and him alone. My sins need to be forgiven and Jesus paid for my sins on the cross. When you come to that point and you say, Jesus, I need a savior. Then it's the word of God that comes. And you read that entire section right there. It talks about how beautiful are the feet of those who actually bring the gospel. How can they hear unless they've been talked to? Unless somebody preaches to them and somebody teaches them what the word of God says. It's the word of God where your faith starts and continues to grow. See, my dear friend, I want your faith to be alive and I want your faith to be active. It will never be active until you are in the word of God. It cannot happen. Well, Heath, wait a minute. I have this spiritual encounter when I'm fishing. Okay, good. When I'm out on the lake, when I'm out on the golf course, when I'm out and around friends, man, and I'll say, great. I am so thankful. I'm glad that you have those encounters. And you should have friends that sharpen you. But if your friends are sharpening you and they're not using the word of God, it's not wisdom. Hello? Did you hear that? It cannot be considered wisdom unless they're actually using the word of God to sharpen you. And the word of God is what brings you into the presence of God. It's the word of God that actually helps you know how to live. When you begin to read the Bible, what happens to your faith? It begins to come alive. You read stories and you hear about men and women of old. Abraham, really? God's going to use this guy? God, really, you would use him? And you see how God begins to move him away from his family and God begins to create a new nation and God uses him, even though he lies. Yeah? You see that he lies about his wife and who she is and you're going, God, really, you're going to use him? And you see God's forgiveness in Abraham. And then you realize, wow, God, you might be able to forgive me. And you continue to walk through. And you see stories such as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And as a teenager, your faith comes alive. And you go, wow, God, if you could use teenagers like that. And then you start asking dangerous questions. If you could use them, God, do you think you could use me? Have you ever started reading the Bible and started asking that question? God, if you were really that big and you could move the waters and part the waters. God, if you're really that big, that you can just show up and you can cause all kinds of plagues to come upon Egypt. If you're really that big that you can heal leprosy. God, if you're really that big, could you do that in my life? That's dangerous, isn't it? To actually start praying and actually looking at the word of God. And as you get into the word of God, it automatically begins to cause something to happen in your life. Your faith begins to swell. And you begin to say, okay, God, if you did it for them, and then I see this promise that you're the same God yesterday, today, and when? Forever? Then God, you're still the same God. So God, I'm going to claim it right now. I'm going to claim that you could do that in my life. So God, I'm going to start praying. Do you see how your faith just grew? You begin to claim promises and you say, God, that promise, that word, that's what you're saying. Really? For me? Oh, man. It causes you to come alive, doesn't it? So let me make sure we understand. So your faith journey, it begins, it ends with Jesus. That's the point. Number two, your faith journey develops only as you're in the word of God. Now you come back to James chapter 2. Now watch what happens. James chapter 2. Look what happens here. James chapter 2 verse 14. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith? What's the faith? It's based on Jesus Christ. It's developed through the word of God, but does not have works. It hasn't changed. It hasn't done anything in their life. It hasn't created something new. James asks this question. He says, what good is that faith? And the answer pushes us to say, if there hasn't been action, then it's not worth anything. That faith is what? Dead. This past week, has your faith actually made a difference in your life? That this past week, did it make a difference in your school? This past week, did it make a difference at your work? This past week, you see, you say you have faith. And then he asks, can that faith even save him? If your faith has not made a difference, then here's what it proves. It demonstrates that your faith was based on you. It demonstrates that your faith was based on what you're doing. It demonstrates that your faith was based on you, and it hasn't made a difference, so you have this great tension in the Bible. Let's be honest. Are you saved by works? No. That's a quick answer. You got to help me out. Are you saved by works? You're not saved by works, because the Bible tells us that for by grace are you saved through what? Faith. That's trusting in God. You didn't earn it. You can't earn it. But here's the great tension. If your faith was based on Jesus Christ, it's based on what's going on in the Word of God, then the tension becomes, it should make a difference. It should make a difference in how you live. It should make a difference. Now, here's what James does. James chapter 1. He brings us back and he says, James is talking about faith and trials. He says, when you have trials and when you have hardships in your life, and when you have these trials, here's what happens. It brings you back into the cycle. And if your faith was based on Jesus Christ, you know what happens during trials? James says, you should count it all joy. Wait a minute. Has anybody gotten excited last time you had a trial? Yeah, no? That's not our response, is it? Hey, God, the finances aren't doing so well, but I'm excited. Hey, God, we're having marriage problems. Don't worry, God, I'm excited. It doesn't go that way. But James says, if your faith is really based on Christ, if it's really based on Christ, it's based on the Word of God, watch this, then you should count it all joy. Why? Because in the midst of that trial, here's what happens. It automatically switches, and you now begin to say, God, this is painful, this hurts. And God, in the midst of my pain, I know my faith is not based on what I can do, but God, I'm going to turn to you. So Jesus, you now become the center once again. That's why the trial is exciting. That's why the trial is exciting for you. And while James says, count it joy that God loves you enough to say, Heath, you need this pain in your life at this moment because right now you've gotten focused on other things. So Heath, I'm going to allow this trial to come into your life. And what's going to happen is I'm going to start the cycle and I'm going to push you back to Jesus being the point. That's incredible. And you know what else happens in trial? You come back, okay, Jesus, you're the point. The next part happens is this. I now start searching the Word of God once again to actually find those promises. It starts this cycle. So I go back to Jesus, you're the point. So Jesus, help me out. And I go back to the Word of God. And as I go back to the Word of God, in the midst of my trial, my faith begins to what? Grow. And then I start doing what James says. I start acting out my faith in a different way in the midst of my trial. Because James says that we are to be, in a little bit later, right after, James says we are to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Do you see it? You see, it flows together. It moves us naturally. Let me say it this way, church. If you can't do the basics of what the word of God says, then he will never ask you to take those big leaps of faith. The basics. See, it would have been easy for me to come in here and just give you one of those mountaintop messages where we're going to charge hell with a squirt gun. This is going to be exciting. We're going to take this huge step of faith, and we're just going to go, yeah, yeah. And we just all stand up and start cheering and hollering. Yeah, we're going to take this mountain. We're going to go. It could have been really fun. And we like those messages. We love those faith stories. We love hearing about how somebody, all the cards were stacked against them, and they still pressed on, and they still trusted God, and they had faith. And yes, and look how God brought through. Look, they won the lottery, and then this. And man, we love those stories. Yeah? Man, I like those stories. But here's the reality. If we as a church can't do the basics of living out what the Word of God says, you ready? There's no way God trusts us with a larger faith step. In your personal life, It's how it works over and over again. When you start acting on the word of God, then God says, okay, you're doing a good job. Now I'm going to bring another trial in. And that trial is going to push you back to Jesus Christ as a sinner, back to the word of God. Then you have to learn to walk in that new knowledge that you just learned. And it's a cycle over and again. You'll find it over and again, no matter who you look at in the Old Testament or New Testament. Do you remember Daniel? As a teenager, he's taken out of his homeland and he's moved to a new land. He comes into the courts and he's given food. Food that's from the king's closet, pantry. All the finest food. But the problem was that what? The food was offered to idols. While everyone else was saying, this is the best food possible, Daniel says, wait a minute, time out. I don't worship those gods and I'm not going to eat anything. I will not defile myself with the king's meat. It was a small choice. And I believe because there were many other Jews, young Jews taken, that many of the young Jews actually ate that meat. And Daniel was one of the few that actually said, I'm not going to do it. He makes a stand in something small. And it was later on that God raised him up and God used him at greater levels. And it required greater faith. Church, my dear friends, you want to see God ask you for a bigger faith step? You start taking the faith steps that God has put in front of you just to act out the word of God right now, what you know and what you understand. And as you act that out, what will happen is this, God raises up. And as you go through the cycle, he says, okay, now there needs to be another hardship in your life. Why does he use hardships? Because it builds you and it pushes you back to the point that Jesus is and where you understand that by human nature, by human power, you cannot overcome. And when you can't overcome, then now you actually have to have faith and trust God. Do you see it? So he puts you in a crisis, puts you in a moment where you're going to have to either choose human power or God's power. And when you say, God, I can't do it. It's in pain. It's hurting. Now Jesus becomes the point. So God, I'm going to trust you. Then you go back to the word of God. Now you have to act out. Then it comes back to another hardship and you're growing. And let me shoot you straight. You haven't been growing just because you've been living. The only way you grow is when you actually take the word of God and you act on it. Does that make sense? That's the only time you grow. When you take the word of God and you act on it, then you're ready for the next step. So here's what I'm desiring for you. Here's what I desire for me. I desire that we stop thinking that your faith has been growing or has been, it was good because you acted on faith one time. Let's move beyond just one time and let's move to a process where we understand we're on a journey, and as long as we're alive, we're on this journey. And each step, each moment is a chance where we say, God, I'm going to trust you more. God, I'm going to get into your word so I can act out and live out so that God, you can take me on a deeper and bigger faith journey than I've ever dreamed of. I want for you and I want for me. I want us to take faith steps. But it begins with us acting, because he says, the very last part, verse 17. So faith by itself, if it does not have works, it's what? It's dead. So here's the check for you and for me. If you've been around church for a long time, but yet there's not a fruit of something being different, Jesus even says, by their fruits, you shall know them. If you would say, my faith really hasn't made a difference, it's just something I've done, it's just something I've been doing, but it's not really Jesus as a sinner, would you come back to the fact that you might need to be saved first? Let's talk salvation. Let's get that right. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, today is where it starts. Jesus, I need you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Jesus, I want you to be the leader of my life. Please, start there. And if you have done that, then your next step is this. Start acting on what God has told you to do. Because your faith without